Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here, the Truth Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. We've got plenty of time for your phone calls. Hope to get one from Hugh. We can talk about what it is like to work in a big New York.
That's right. We had to cut everybody off. Not everybody, but yeah, we didn't. We had a great guest on Friday. If you haven't listened to it, be sure to grab the podcast. Just you can go to chuckandjulie.com, and that'll link you to the YouTube or wherever else, however you want to listen to it. But he was talking. He was a recovering lawyer. And Hugh, if you're listening, Hugh, or maybe you get a Chuck and Julie dispensation. You for whenever you get a chance, go ahead and call in. A lot of talk about today. First, I want to say the show brought to you by Colorado CitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website, one I check every day just to see what's going on.
Great article this time on the latest extension by Polis.
More executive orders, yeah, extending the emergency.
Emergency.
Yeah. And actually, we're going to get to that in a second because I want to talk about, there's just so much to talk about today. Want to let you know, if you want to listen to us on Zoom, and hello, Sandra and all the folks on Zoom, the Zoom number is 209-576-4223. You just go to zoom.us if you ever want to join us on Zoom. And then you can video, audio. It's kind of a cool thing. We'd love to see you guys. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008.
Is the Zoom number zoom.us?
Yeah, you go to zoom.us, and then it'll tell you to enter a meeting number, and that's just the meeting number you enter. Then poof.
Well, our guest last week, you wrote down for me zoom.com. No wonder it didn't come up.
Oh, it's zoom. Oh, shoot. That was operator error. It's zoom.
Operator error.
Zoom.us is what you want to go to there. And also just remind folks, we'd love it if you could subscribe to us on YouTube. We're slowly but surely getting our way up. We had one really nice comment from a guy saying, I can't believe you don't have more followers. And we're getting there. I'm like, we're trying, guy. We're trying. And then we can carry some stuff live. Want to start off talking about what happened up in Fort Collins over the weekend. Just to sort of, Tiger the Wonder Dog.
Wanting
to get in the video.
In the picture. Yeah. She's moved chairs now to make sure she's featured.
That she's featured. If you have a dog and you're on Zoom, feel free to let your Wonder Dog. We're a very friendly, pet-friendly show. But anyway, I want a little bit of perspective. So a few weeks ago now, there was a pro-police rally in downtown Denver, which was overtaken by Antifa thugs while the Denver police acknowledged they were giving an order to stand down, and they did. And we got basically routed off the stage. I've said before, I got punched, cops stood by, and they did absolutely nothing. But the pro-police, at several hundred is from what I understand, gathered in Fort Collins to hold the pro-police rally. And a much smaller group of Antifa thugs showed up there. And it did not go so well with them. And I want to talk about this because I think there's a lot of things that it shows. And I'm going to play the video, and then I want to talk because I think I would have looked at this differently, I would say, maybe even before January than the way I look at it now. But Thomas, there at BBS, if you could play the Fort Collins Antifa pushback video, that'd be great.
You guys step away from the fucking houses. We're gonna leave.
Hey, guys,
Bye-bye, commie scum. Bye-bye, go home. Bye-bye. Oh, shit. Here we go.
I'm good.
Antifa about to get tangled. Oh, my. You guys came to the wrong city, boys and girls.
Everybody keep your hands off your weapons. Keep punching each other in the face. Just don't shoot anybody.
There you go. There you go.
Oh. So, oh.
But you see there are the Antifa people. Sorry about that, guys. You see the Antifa people kind of coming in, wearing all their black, right? And then you see the pro-police people just angry. You could tell they're angry, and they're just kind of pushing back, and they're walking them back, right? And there's the guys with the bullhorns saying, get out, commie scum, stuff like that. And the Antifa people don't know what to do about that, right? They're they're all like 14 years old, and it's the first time anybody's, you know, not let them be bullies. And they push them back, and they push them back, and they finally... And you know, and they're not, they're angry, but they're not saying anything, you know, how do I say, they're not being racist or anything like that. They're calling them commies, right? Let me see, was that? Okay, some issues there. So now I'll finish explaining. So then you see them push the people, the Antifa people, and they just kind of walk, right? They're just marching. They're not touching them or anything like that. And then, though, there's a guy in a wheelchair, and apparently one of the Antifa people started to mess with the guy in the wheelchair, and he fell out of the wheelchair into the grass, and then a brawl ensues. And you can hear the pro-police people are saying, leave your weapons in, you know, don't take your weapons out. I know people are armed here. Don't take your weapons out. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, knife.
Commie and one of
the commie has a knife. And one of the Antifa people had pulled out, I'm sorry, I'm hearing a text from Karen Cataline. The commie has a knife, and then they, you know, they grab that person. And as I understand it, what I find interesting about all of this, Chuck, and you've seen the video, right? And if you haven't seen the video, take a look. It's all over the place. One, once again, where were the cops, right? Because you know the cops are around.
They came after everything was over.
They came, right. And then here's what annoys me. Okay, so they arrest apparently three people on both sides. Okay, so here's my thing. It was just like what I was saying with the rally that we had in downtown Denver, okay? What the Antifa people are doing is not protected by the First Amendment. You don't have a First Amendment right
to break up other people's rallies.
To break up other people's rallies. You don't have a First Amendment right to bring out a knife and try to hit somebody. You don't have a First Amendment right to try to punch me. Right. You don't have a First Amendment right there. And so when the cops won't protect you, when the cops won't intervene, when the cops won't help you set up zones where people can be, if they want to be in an anti-protest, they can do that, right? Just set them up someplace else. When the cops don't do that and you are forced to protect yourself and your own rights, and then the cops turn around and arrest you for that, that's just wrong. I mean, to me, that's just wrong.
Well, at the rally on the 19th, a police officer was saying, I think this is a lieutenant was charged, well, they have the First Amendment right too. To what?
Right.
To beat up people, to overrun rallies, to make sure you can't have a prayer, you can't salute the flag. It's a weird belief by the police departments, apparently, that pro-police people have no rights.
Right.
And anti-police people have full protection of whatever it is they think, the right to riot. And I'm not sure the police are gaining are starting to lose some of their pro-police, and if they do, they won't have anybody left. So maybe they ought to figure out who is antagonizing who is causing all the problems, rather than figuring out, oh, we'll show how woke we are.
Yeah, I mean, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, if you want to weigh in on that. And here's the thing. there would have been a time, and I would say maybe even before January, when I would have been like, oh man, I don't know if the pro-police people, you know, I don't know if that's a good look, saying, you know, don't get out your weapons, and they're pushing the people back. I don't think that anymore. And I got to think, Chuck, if I'm that way, I think there are a lot of people out there like that too, who are saying, it is clear our politicians, it's clear that for many, in many cases, our Republican leaders, it's clear our law enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to stand up for us, right?
No.
They're not going to say you have a right to do that. They're not going to say we're going to protect you. If you were we'll play the Chicago thing. If you're a business owner in Chicago, if you're a business owner even in downtown Denver, who the heck is standing up for your rights, right? You have business, you pay property taxes. They're not. They're just allowing these rioters to go. And, you know, again, I would have thought before, well, I don't know if we should push back like that. And now I'm saying, heck yeah. Heck yeah, we should be pushing back like that.
Well, you know, you find out, I think we've had people come up and say, well, shouldn't go to Denver. I said, it doesn't matter where you go. They're going to follow you.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So it's kind of an amazing process where it doesn't matter where you go. You have to go off to a private neighborhood and you think, hey, we're okay. No,
you're not okay. Hey, and this is from Sandra. I want to know who they arrested. I'm tired of our rights being subverted. Antifa needs to be jailed. Better yet, send them to Guam. Hank Johnson said it would capsize with too many people. Hence, LOL, even a mom, even sometimes he has good ideas. Hey, and I see Karen Cataline is on the line. Karen, if you want to weigh in, you sure can. That we appreciate, I mean, you're, oh, sorry, moron. I thought every mom? Every moron has some good ideas. Karen Cataline, if you want to come on, if you're on line one there too, we can get your thoughts on that. Because I know that's up in your neck of the woods where people take their freedom seriously, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I do. You should have read my my text. I really, you know, sometimes I think the gremlins are out because it was very difficult to access you on Facebook and YouTube. So sometimes I just get on Zoom so I know that I can connect with you. So I didn't really have that much to say at the moment.
But
I'm doing like, I don't know, 17 hours of radio this week. So
wow.
That's my record. I never did that many. But anyway.
Let me ask you this, though, because you do Karen Cataline. She's got a show on BBS Radio, Spouting Off, on Fridays at noon, colleague of ours. But you do, when you fill in on these radio shows, you do them all over the country, right? We know what it's kind of like here in Colorado. What's your sense in other parts of the country where the shows that you go on?
Sorry.
They're calling in.
They're calling in.
I didn't know I was on. A lot of similarity. I think that the country is split in much the same way in every state. The rural people, the suburban people, and certainly conservatives look at this in an entirely different way than the left. We watch the left constantly marching in lockstep. It's amazing. And Governor Polis, for all of his intelligence, and he is bright, he's certainly wealthy, I don't think that he came up with all these things on his own. Democrat governors and unelected bureaucrats are all marching in lockstep. They have the same very diabolical plan to continue to restrict us while the virus gets less effective or less dangerous. They continue to restrict us more. It's like an inverted
right.
Graph there. They also are, just think about some of the insanity and some of the upside downedness of a government forcing or colluding with big box stores to turn away their own customers.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, companies like big box stores who make deals with government are just about as short-sighted as the insurance companies were when they were making deals with Obama on Obamacare.
Right.
They didn't realize that they were going to put themselves out of business for a little bit of short-term profit.
Right.
So what we're watching is extraordinary. There's certainly no shortage of things to talk about. Remember in the old days in talk radio when I tried out a bunch of times and you'd have to like search for things to talk about? Now it's like it's handed to you on a silver platter. And the only problem is how can I possibly
get so much in
all of this? So,
all right. Well, let me let you promote your show and where you're going to be next. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot by just...
No. Hey, I don't mind when you guys put me on the spot. So yes, I'm filling in. I'm actually filling in for all of the, almost everybody that I regularly do. I'll be doing, I did the Alan Nathan show today. As a matter of fact, I'm on right now. I bet you didn't know that. today and Thursday. And then I'm filling in for the Keith Hansen show Tuesday through Friday this week. He has a local show in New Hampshire, and then he does a national show, and he's graced me with the opportunity to do that as well.
Wow, that's all right. Great. You're everywhere.
You can find it all at KarenCataline.com.
Right, right.
All right, man. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Love you guys.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else wants to come on? Like Karen said on Zoom, 209-576-423 is the Zoom number. Just go to zoom.us. I mean, Sandra, anybody else who's listening too, if you want to just jump in, feel free to go ahead and do that or call us 888-627-6008. But I go back to the, I think we really do need to realize, and I think Trump is in the forefront of this, right? And where he pushes back. Everyone's like, oh, I don't think you should push back. And I'm going to like, just let me ask you this, Chuck. Can you imagine what this country would be like if George Bush were still president, right? I mean, because I think that all the stuff we're seeing, the riots, the progressive push to the left, the taking advantage of coronavirus, I think that this is all part of a bigger Democrat strategy to take power.
Well, I understand the strategy is, you know, if I own a small business, if I own a restaurant, if I'm employed by those ones, I mean, I'd just be incredibly angry at people like Polis and Hancock. I mean, yesterday the death toll was one.
And that was probably fake.
And it was probably fake. And so we're closing down our entire economy of Colorado because one person died somewhat related to coronavirus. It's insane. I'm sure there are more people died from suicides, depression, just going insane.
Well, they have. There was a story in the Denver Post. It was a good job. They did a good job on this, saying deaths of heart disease, dementia, suicide, overdoses. Those things are all up, and they believe it's up because people delayed seeking treatment over the coronavirus.
Right.
So I think it needs a president like Donald Trump to push
back
against this.
Well, we also need some. You know, maybe it's just because the Denver Post and the four local news stations just won't cover it. But you really would think there'd be a lot of people who would normally be Democrats thinking, wait a minute, this is
not right. I mean, I used to be a Democrat, right? And I mean, this is horrible. I confess here, I've since evolved, that there was a time when I would have voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry, that time has long since passed. Chuck has deprogrammed me. But I think, well, no, actually the world has deprogrammed me.
Right.
But this is, if I were a Democrat, this is not what I would have believed in at all, the riots and things like that. And again, I don't understand why, I mean, you're reaping what you sow, cops and mayors, right? When you go ahead and you say, oh no, we're gonna let the rioters, the mob, it doesn't matter, violate these guys' First Amendment rights, and we're gonna let them destroy these businesses, and we're not gonna stand up for people, no matter which side you're on, right, then people quit counting on you. And I think that's exactly what you saw at this pro-police rally in Fort Collins. You saw the people saying, hey, you know, we're not going to wait for the cops to come stand here again. And that's what I would say to Randy Corbin if we do the event again, right? It's like, hey, we're not waiting for the cops this time. We know that the cops, number one, are going to do
nothing.
Set our own
perimeters.
Right,
And take up their suggestion, have your own security, have your own fencing, have everything else, because they're not going to be there for us anymore.
No.
Sandra wrote in, you know, it's small business, not Walmart, not Target, not Sam's Club.
Not Amazon.
They're all safe for you. But small businesses are coronavirus.
Small restaurants.
I mean, the absurdity of it all, that the Democrats aren't just totally cratering as a party and as an organization, just amazes me.
Well, and I got to wonder if maybe we will find out in November, right? I mean, maybe it's not. You know, let's try another video. Thomas.
See how this one works out.
We'll see if we can get this one. Thomas, if you could roll. This is what happened in Chicago. This is a video. And listen, and I'm going to apologize. There's some swear words in it. But this is a woman inside the mall on the Magnificent Mile in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. My mom used to live there, and I used to know those stores very well. Exactly. And it's beautiful shopping malls, right? And they rioted and looted it last night, and they just you know, just destroyed it. And here's this woman, doesn't even care. She's taking pictures of herself kind of walking through, right. And you can kind of hear her musing, well, maybe I should go back up there. Mm-hmm. And there's one point where she says, oh, those are jeans. I'm just like, oh, they're Lucky Brand. Nobody likes Lucky Brand. But if we could try rolling this video, Thomas, let's see.
What's these pants looking like, y'all, y'all? What's these Lucky Brands? Why don't I want that shit? My head getting curly as fuck out of my hood, sweating out this shit. I should go back up there because it ain't shit going up.
Now, that's just one video. I mean, you've seen them all before. I mean, the hundreds of people were rioting and looting in the down along the Magnificent Mile, right? Breaking into stores and looting them. And I go back to Chuck, like you said. And the mayor, of course, blames Trump. Mayor Lightfoot, what was she doing when all of this was going on? Well, she was cracking down. She wasn't getting her hair down. There was a gay beach party. And right. She went down there to make sure that that got broken up. So here you had a bunch of people not hurting anybody, minding their own business. And then in one of Chicago's most lucrative, most tourist-oriented places, right, the section of the city, you've got looters robbing stores.
And this is 12:20 at night. This is 12:20 at night. Let's go down and tear the place up.
Right. And they just sort of, the cops... cops know how to stop this if somebody would let them, and you know they too have been given orders to stand down. So let's just say
at least they arrested 100. I'm sure
the DA is going to let them go.
Let them go.
That's right. And so that's the thing. If you're a small business person, I agree with you, Chuck. For the life of me, I don't understand why any small business person would be a Democrat. Because if you think that can't happen to you, there was another, it was a heartbreaking picture. It was a guy hugging his daughter. It was a family-owned food store there, right? And it was just destroyed, right? Everything that wasn't stolen was also destroyed. And who is standing up for those people? And here's the thing, I believe, this is a genie, number one, that I don't believe can be put back in the bottle. I don't think if Joe Biden, even if Joe Biden wins, I don't think this is going to stop. I think they just want to control everything and everyone. They want utter chaos, total chaos. The mask, I believe, I agree with Karen Connelly, the mask is totally in an early form of shunning and shaming and just another step to tell you what you can and can't wear. You already know what you can and can't say, right? If you step a little bit out of line, they'll even eat their own. They shame you. They call for boycotts. They get you fired. They force you to quit. It's like the Twitter mob rules the social media thing, which is ridiculous to me. But if people think that, well, you know, it's Donald Trump's fault and it's Donald Trump that's divisive, maybe he is, okay? And maybe he has obnoxious tweets and maybe he trolls people and gets in their face, but he is not the problem here. The problem is this progressive left that simply wants to grab power and hold on to it and make it grow however they can. And they don't care who gets hurt in the way.
Well, it's interesting. They came out with the Nielsen ratings and Fox News, particularly the 3 hours of Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, as well as Tucker Carlson. That is the most watched television anywhere, you know, not just cable, but against CBS, NBC, and the rest of them. I mean, it's just amazing that those 3 hours are just, you know, the most popular. That tells you something.
And it's growing. That's a thing.
It's growing,
That's a thing. That's even a more important point. It's not that, like, everybody else is not watching TV and, they have the smallest or the biggest small audience. Their audience is growing.
It is growing. And it's interesting that, you know, where it's not very popular is Neil Cavuto and Shannon Bream. I mean, Neil Cavuto is absolutely never Trump, and Shannon Bream is kind of, you know, flutters in and flutters out. And of course they keep those. But if they had, you know, more popular shows on those end, they'd even dominate more. But it's just amazing. So there's all these signs out there. They're not reflected in the polls. But do you trust the polls? No. Of course not. That maybe this is going to be an incredible election because they're registering more Republicans in key states. Donald Trump in 23 states, which does not include Colorado. are really gearing up, hitting doors, doing everything else. I mean, it's just a, it's just extraordinary. Even on the latest morning consult poll, the incredible Cory Gardner is just down 6 points.
Is gaining.
Is gaining, and I think it's all the negativity around Hickenlooper. And at least Gardner's not hurting himself. God knows what he's up to.
Well, maybe right now. Well, you know, here's the thing, too. Our friend Jimmy Mack, who we've had on the show.
Oh,
yeah, he was tweeting some of these pictures, and he goes, every time they have a riot, he said, I just think this is a Republican campaign commercial.
Yeah, it is.
And I got to think, like you said, Chuck, they're going to push into the suburbs. They did. They were in Fort Collins. Fort Collins is not a hard urban left, you know, center of power. And the Antifa people, at least they showed what happened.
It is CSU, and so it is somewhat liberal. I mean, parts of it certainly are very liberal. So, I mean, I think people are getting sick of it, and maybe there's just not enough coverage of
it. You know what else I think is, there's zero coverage of it, and there's not ever going to be. The other thing I think people are getting sick of a little bit is the constant barrage of racism accusations. No matter what you say or do, if it's something that the very progressive Black Lives Matter, and keep in mind, Black Lives Matter is not about Black lives. I think we've seen that clear with all the violence that we've been seeing around the country and in Chicago, where it's Black people getting killed. Those Black lives don't matter. If it's one that they could take advantage of to ignite riots and to spark protests, okay, that Black life matters. And it doesn't matter that the cops get fired. It doesn't matter that the cops are charged, still doesn't matter. And I think there are people more and more who are waking up to the fact that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist political movement that has zero to do with actual any kind of racial justice or injustice.
Right. I was going downtown today for a meeting, and I saw a little office building with, you know, four plaques, and one is Black Lives Matter. You know, you're positive. You know, that's their headquarters. Luckily, it can be there. Fully supported by George Soros, whoever funds them, but great office space for them.
But I think, though, that's hurting that. I mean, hopefully, you know, you can only hope that people wake up and say, you know what, you know, you've got to, I don't know, if your business is, I wish that we could, and I get why businesses don't, right? It's their business. But if everybody could just like say, you know what, I'm opening up. You know what, I'm going to.
Well, we found out what happens when they just do that. The government comes down them and viciously. That's why Randy is involved in so many lawsuits, so
with
including
Bandamere
and CNC. I mean, it's just an amazing.
Well, lawsuit. And here's something else too. And I think though,
I do want to check, Thomas, that we make sure that our Facebook and.
It looks like we're live on him.
Are we?
Yeah. Okay. It looks like we're live. Good. Sometimes I think, as Karen said, and we apologize, internet is internet, right? And I think sometimes there can be glitches. So if you don't get on right away, try again. But I want to talk about something else too. I think Trump was very smart when he signed the stimulus bill. I think that there's a lot of debate in Republican circles in particular, and I understand this. And Chuck, you know, you and I actually haven't talked about this, but what it does is it extends the payments. I think he's lowering them from $600 a week to $400 a week. Mm-hmm. But he has put the Democrats in the bizarre position of trying to explain why they're keeping the economy closed down, but people shouldn't get unemployment.
Right. No, I think it's a brilliant move, and it's a practical matter. You know, the cities, Denver included, and the states are all counting on massive influx of printed dollars to save them, gratis of Nancy Schumer. Nancy and Schumer.
Well, there you go, Nancy Schumer.
Nancy Schumer trying to push through their own agenda. I hope he doesn't pass a third one. I mean, it's just gotten to the point of ridiculousness.
Well, and here's what annoys me about Governor Polis. So Governor Polis has issued more executive orders declaring an emergency. He's keeping, as you said, although the cases are down, hospitalizations are down,
deaths are almost
non-existent. And you know that death is a fake death anyway. It was, you know, corona.
Well, I have to say, you don't know why someone dies normally. You know, somebody's heart stops and you know, if they got pneumonia, and they had COVID, you go, yes. Other than that, it's kind of like anybody's guess.
Right. But what I'm saying, though, is we are clearly past a peak. We are clearly past any kind of point of a surge and hospitals being overwhelmed, right? So why are we continuing to keep schools and the economy locked down? But here's the thing. This is where Polis. So Polis says, number one, with the Democrats, no, Trump, you cannot give people more unemployment, right? We cannot open the economy. We can't let people get back to work. We can't let restaurants open up and be full so that they can hire back all the wait staff. Nope. But we don't want you to give those people any extra money. And then in the meantime, when Trump goes around and does an executive order, what does Polis do? Well, he pushes out a story, and the local media falls for it hook, line, and sink. There is zero critical thinking in the media these days. They say, well, we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Trump puts Colorado in a bad spot because they can't afford the matching payments. Well, here's my question, Jared Polis. If you can't afford the matching payments, I know, let's just open up the freaking economy and let people get back to work, and then we won't have to pay anyone. But no, they don't want that. They want you crushed. They want you broke. They want you dependent on them. Not only for this election, but for every election after that. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm a little riled about this because it's just, it's like, no, we're not going to give you unemployment. We're not going to let you work. No. And now we're going to say, oh, well, when Trump is going to give you unemployment, we're going to complain about that too, because we can't afford it.
But I would love to hear stories of anybody out there that have Democratic friends that has at least one that is, because I don't know any Republicans that voted for Trump last time said, oh, not this time. No, his tweets are too much. Everybody I know who voted for Trump last time is going to vote for him this time. And a few Republicans who voted for even Mullen, whatever his name
McMullen,
is.
McMullen.
Or Johnson in the Libertarian Party. They say, no, I'm voting for Trump. But I don't know enough Democrats anymore. We used to live in the middle of Denver, so I knew or saw on a regular basis more. But running into people kind of go, you know, don't like Trump, don't like Republicans, but I just can't stand, you know, voting for a senile guy and his crazy people who are pushing a far left agenda. There have to be a few, right?
You would think. Don't they? I mean, well, you know, I don't know. This coming from Sandra, you know, back to the Black Lives Matter. How about Oprah and her blasting white privilege? Doesn't matter that one is a poor white, still white, and many people have had enough of her and many like her. And I think that's right, Sandra. I think, you know, American people, I think, are pretty, for the most part, whatever party they're on, live and let live, right? But I think the Democrats and this progressive agenda have pushed and pushed and pushed. And now people are saying, you know, wait a minute, I am not a racist because I'm white, right?
White privilege, and Oprah's, you know, she's Hawaii and where else, right? Suffering from her.
It's just ridiculous, right? Exactly, like she's had any kind of privilege. But in back to Polis, so this is another thing that outraged me. I will say the Colorado Sun and Channel 4 did a good job on this story, so check it out if you haven't. And this did not just start under Polis, but it's going on. But apparently Polis has taken it to new heights. So governors in Colorado have, I guess they court private companies, theoretically philanthropic, organizations, charity organizations, to donate money to fund positions within the government. So Polis has a early education person. He's got a climate change person. He's got several other people whose positions are paid for not by state tax dollars, but by private companies donating. Now, apparently, Bill Owens did this, a Republican did it, Roy Romer did it, Ritter did it, Hickenlooper did it.
It's obscene.
It's obscene. I mean, what happened? Here's the reality. This is the truth straight up about this. This is not some, sisters of the poor contributing their funds and sending it to early childhood organizations, right? And then they give it to the state. No, these are private companies that funnel their money. Hickenlooper, at least, apparently did it openly, took money from oil and gas people to set up positions in the government. And then Hickenlooper went ahead and used it to hire lawyers to defend him against ethics complaints. But so what the governor is doing in Colorado, and I guess this is another scheme they have, they're doing it in other states too. So let's say you want to create a position in your cabinet or in the government, and there isn't any money for it because no one thinks it's important or agrees with it, by the way. So what you do is you solicit funds from a charity. The funds are not coming from the charity. The funds are coming from private companies, right? Like Bill Gates, Apple, Soros. Amazon. Well, no, this is even worse than that. This is not even Soros. These are private corporations, business corporations, funneling money through charities into Polis and so he can spend it the way he wants. And there is zero transparency with the Colorado Sun and 1004 founders. You can't really get, you can get to the charity that's donating, right? But you can't get to who contributed to the charity. Right. So if you want to control the government, I mean, the Brownstein people at least are straightforward about it, right? They just openly donate to you, right? But this is this whole new level. Even some Democrat lawmakers are saying, you know, we need to have a little bit more transparency and accountability on that front.
All right. We've got Father Hugh, who we've been waiting for, calling in from his palatial abode in on the borderline.
And following instructions from the lady.
Well, Hugh, I felt so bad because I was hoping you were listening Friday when we were talking to the recovering lawyer.
You know, it's outrageous. And I've hired the Brownstein Law Firm to take it up with you.
Okay.
I'm laughing. A couple of things. Forgive me. I launched off into a frolicking detour. A couple of things. You know, tomorrow is the... I'm sorry. It was... a comment on your guest who talked about the practice of law.
Yeah, right. Mark,
and, you know, I'm really happy I made that decision. And, you know, I keep hoping that the law will live up to my expectations. But talk to Chuck about that. Hello?
You don't have a lot of time left, Hugh. I mean, hopefully you do, but it's like...
Well, you know... anyway, but put that aside. Two little tiny snippets. It's like a library card call. Two things.
What? Are you there?
The other night, Mark Levin.
We are having gremlins today.
To
Gremlin Day.
Hey, Hugh, if you can hear us, call back. We lost you there.
Pardon me?
Oh, there you are. Okay,
yeah, we lost you for a second.
Now you're back.
Okay. The other night, Mark Levin devoted an hour or so to a discussion of Antifa. Mm-hmm. And among the things that fell out, do you know that the German government subsidizes or makes donations to Antifa?
Really?
No.
Wow.
And I assume it's the Merkel government. But the background, of course, is Germany, you know, has experienced a resurgence of right-wing activity. And, of course, they are sensitive to that. But I was stunned that, you know, they would go to the length of subsidizing the opposition to that as some kind of prophylactic.
Well, why not? Because the AfD, which is the right-wing party, is taking votes away from Merkel's party. So, of course, you want to subsidize people who will attack them. It's just amazing.
It's stunning. I mean, and of course, the whole thing that they're so well organized and funded. And although this thing up and, by the way, there's an article, I'll send it to you, Chuck,
okay.
To both of you. I unearthed an article, I'm hot on a mask ordinance.
Ah.
And there are 17 states that have a mask ordinance prohibiting. Sometimes they're ridiculous, you know, kind of
right.
Halloween, that sort of thing. But other times, some of them have gone so far as to say, you can't wear a mask if you're going to be engaged in depriving people of their constitutional rights. And I thought, that's what we should have.
Right.
We don't have a mask ordinance. And I think
you're dropping out again there.
So
I think he's talking about barring
the only
Antifa.
Other thing, small thing. Tomorrow is the hearing for the D.C. Court of Appeals.
That should be fascinating. And the D.C. Court of Appeals has a link so you can be able to listen to it. So
yeah, you're
fun.
Talking about on the motion, Sidney Powell's ongoing motion to let General Flynn, make sure that the courts let General Flynn go. What do you think is going to happen there, Hugh?
Well, I think from the delay, I don't think the D.C. Court of Appeals is going to tip over. I don't know. The easiest way would be if they just affirmed the mandamus to Judge Sullivan. I don't know whether that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And here's actually another tidbit from Mark Levin. I didn't know this. I thought that the en banc court would be all 17 or 18 members. It's 10.
Yep.
Mark pointed out that 7 of them were appointees of the Flynn panel.
Oh, Hugh, you're breaking up at the most important points. I'm going to bet we're appointed by Obama or Democrats.
No, they're
Trump, and this is an enduring problem for Hugh. The grinding of the jaws, Peter says. Why do we always get Boy Scouts? One of our people felt obliged to recuse
himself because he hates what's his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them do. There's one that had a huge war with him, and so they, you know, recuses. They get away with it.
Can I ask you to come closer to the microphone?
Oh, it's hard to hear. Well, we can't talk too loud, Hugh. Then it blasts. Hey, listen though, you're cutting it in and out. So we'll let you go, but thank you.
Any last minute thoughts?
No, to finally answer your question, I'm not optimistic, Julie. It seems as though the whole thing is part of the deep state.
Yes. They wouldn't have
drawn
it
drag it out on Flynn forever. What they're going to do is engineer a pardon to force Trump to do a pardon.
Right. And that's victory.
And that's victory for them.
Yeah.
All right, Hugh, thank you. I bet you're right. We'll bring you back on when you're right, okay? thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Talk to you.
That's what I think, too. Although I think that's sort of a, how do I say it? If anyone, a lot of that whole General Flynn thing tends to be in the weeds, right? And so if you're a Trump supporter, you don't care that he, you know, pardons Flynn.
Well, you do, because I think you do care. Because
you think that's going to hurt him?
I don't think it particularly hurt Trump, but I think it at least makes a whole shambles, a whole joke, less of a joke. It seems like Trump had to intervene, not that injustice was done to Flynn, but just politics. So,
I see.
I mean, it makes you one more reason why you can't believe in the court system anymore.
No,
But you don't grant an en banc if you want to confirm.
Have done this. Hey, do you want to talk about Synergenics real quick? And then we have a Brian. We want to switch gears a little bit, talk about Joe Biden and whiny CNN host Brian Stelter.
Yeah. Well, do you have any difficulty concentrating? A little depression, irritability, anxiety, loss of muscle mass. We all have that as we get a little bit older. Restless nights, poor sleep. Well, Julie McCallum is a world-class physician trained especially of age management medicine. She goes way beyond treating a disease and instead focuses on preventive medicine. She helps you get to the root causes of any health issues, restore your health and vitality, helps you achieve peak physical and mental performance despite a demanding lifestyle, all under 90 days. Give her a call. You'd be glad you did.
Synergenics.
Synergenics, 720-387-3681, or just go to on the website, CENEGENICS. It'll be a lifesaver.
Chuck and Julie sent you.
Tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
Okay, so I want to switch gears here a little bit. And feel free, anybody, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 if you want to come in, if you're on Zoom, if you want to just pop in. But hey, Thomas at BBS, if we could play the Brian Stelter CNN soundbite where he just has his mental breakdown over Joe Biden and how mean conservatives are.
A totally alternative universe. You never hear what's happening there unless you tune into right-wing talk radio. But you need to know what they are saying because the most popular, most powerful talkers in the country have trained their sights on Joe Biden. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling. Look, whether you like Biden or not, this stuff is offensive and otherworldly. So let me set the stage for this before I play the clips. Keep in mind that news and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. Guys like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity can influence tens of millions of listeners. And as this HuffPost headline pointed out earlier this year, talk radio stars were shopping dangerous claims about the coronavirus. They were downplaying its severity. But nowadays, if you listen to those shows, you hardly hear about COVID at all. They have shifted to big-time Biden bashing instead. You know what this is? This is negative partisanship.
Oh, no. Certainly can't have negative partisanship in a partisan election. How dare!
It's a long clip, and he talks to this panel and says, you know, these station Fox, and he said, they're just bashing. There's nothing on that you know, about Trump, is there? They go, no, no, CNN, no, 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 they never bash Trump.
Well,
no, I mean, it's just talk about projection. I mean, it's the most pathetic example ever.
I felt kind of optimistic after I heard that, because clearly they're a little bit worried, right? I mean, what a stupid thing. They have trained, so conservative talk radio hosts like us have turned their sights on Joe Biden. Like, why on earth would a conservative radio host be talking about Joe Biden?
And then there's a little clip of Joe on a bike with a mask on. And they
but say, no helmet.
No helmet, that's right. And then they say, see, he's just a peak of health. And you kind of go, it's not that he's physically
he's
breaking down. It's his brain that's breaking down. Unlike Brian Seltzer, his brain is fine, but the rest not so good.
Amazing. What a ridiculous, whiny thing. And the fact that he felt, the Democrats, I think, are freaking out. Their brains are exploding. And I think that's a good sign, because I think that at some deep level, intrinsic level, they understand that they're screwed with Joe Biden, I think. I think that they...
Well, not if they can ever just say, Democratic candidate? No.
And Chuck, this is negative partisanship to positive partisanship, right? We all know we just want positive partisanship, because that's how politics works. All positive. Because that's all they do. All day long, all they do is point out Trump's economic triumphs, the success he's had against coronavirus, the success he's had against China.
Hey, by the way, talking about disappearing, I'll be interested today. Is Kyle Clark coming back today? I mean, he's been gone for quite a while. Now, a lot of people are wondering why, and I must admit, so are we wondering why. He said he'd be back in early August, and he's not back. So it's going to be interesting to see tonight whether Kyle Clark returns or he's on this continued short hiatus.
We'll
of
see.
His.
I mean, I know he and his wife
a
had a
week
baby.
Ago, 10 days ago.
So,
but
we'll
he never said that. He just said, "I'll be back."
Right. So he was tweeting hi today.
Oh,
so
well, maybe. He, oh, God, that would be great.
He might be back again. But back to the Brian Stelter thing. It's like he is right. It is an alternative universe, right?
Yes,
if
yes.
you look at that, if you're CNN, you're like, how can they attack Joe Biden? Which, of course. If, number one, even if Joe Biden were perfectly competent and were actually campaigning, not just riding his bike around or sitting in his basement, it still is an election year. So you would still probably get some critical comments by conservative talk show hosts, as we get from MSNBC.
It's offensive, Julie. It's offensive.
It is offensive, and it's mean. And it's
awful.
Like, what
it's
is wrong with that
imaging.
Guy? It's like it's negative partisanship. It's like, give me a freaking break.
We're all so fair here at CNN.
Right.
And over there in radio world, it's...
those conservative talk radio hosts, who we know have a lot of power. It's like, you think? You know, I mean, there's more people listening, like you said, to Fox. CNN is tanking. But here's the thing, I think that...
MSNBC is doing better, but Fox is just killing... He's not just killing the other cable outlets. They're the most popular network above all, you know. CBS, NBC, everything.
Well, and this is given from, I mean, like I said, between his meltdown and I think increasing whininess on their part. That's, you only start whining when you think you're losing, right?
Well,
you only start complaining that the other side's being unfair when you think that you might be losing. Wasn't it CNN that had the reporter talking, calling a mostly peaceful protest, and there's fire and rioters behind them? It's like they're such a joke anymore.
You imagine what CNN will do to Biden if he starts going down in the polls? That's where they have to keep up the polls.
Well, have people at the New York Times, people at MSNBC are quitting, saying they can't take it anymore.
Right.
It's so
awful in those
places.
Right.
It's like we here in conservative talk radio land know that it's not fair out there and that they're
Brian
biased.
Chelsea. He's just so great in his Baghdad Bob role. And he's just going, this is offensive. They're attacking Joe Biden.
This is not
an election year.
Even worse. In an election year, they've trained their sights on Joe Biden. Like, who should they be talking about? But here's the thing.
And when's that VP pick coming out?
I know, every day. I mean, they announce, it's what the Babylon Bee, if you guys don't follow the Babylon Bee in Twitter, you should. They're really funny.
Along with Carlos.
It says they were tweeting that Joe Biden says he's looking forward to finding out who he picked for vice presidential candidate. But even the polls show, and again, polls being what they are, but at least the polls were saying that a lot of people, roughly 60% of the people, did not expect Joe Biden to complete his first to complete his first term, right? Let alone there'd be a second term. So again, you know, they can wave their, say, oh, shiny object over here. Don't look at Joe Biden. No, 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 shiny object over here. They know that Joe Biden looks bad. And every time they trot him out there to try to say something intelligent, he stumbles around. He forgets what he's trying to say.
Well, so they can't leave it. His wife, Jill, can leave the basement, though. She was on a show on Sunday and live. So she can leave the basement, but Joe's can't leave the basement for, I don't know why.
No, strange, they can't. And she says, he'll be there for the debates. And then the Babylon Bee had another tweet that was really funny. They showed Trump sitting there on the debate stage. And then they showed a guy in like this orange suit with everything covered up. And they were saying, Joe Biden has agreed to debates, although his face and entire body will be covered and his voice may sound different. So it's like, that's what they're going to be. And I'm laughing, but actually it is kind of worrisome because it does make, it is concerning, and you can see the Democrats sort of setting the stage for a number of things, right? Well, you know, they want mail balloting, and Brian Dunlap had a great column where he said, you know, it's not even just about the fraud anymore. The Democrats wanted to be so screwed up, which is an interesting theory. Right. They wanted to be so screwed up that it was not going to be a clear president, a clear winner from the election. And what are the rules if it goes for a certain length of time and they can't sort it out? Now, of course, and who gets to decide? Well, the Democrat governors, right? It'll be up to Jared Polis, right? Yeah. And the Secretary of State, the Democrat Secretary of State, to certify the election results in Colorado. Brian Dunlap's theory is that they know it's going to be screwed up. They want it to be screwed up. And then who selects the president then? The House of Representatives, well, right?
In theory, although I saw another article, once again, projection, the Democrats saying Trump wants to throw it into the House of Representatives.
Well, and here's the thing. To me, this, when you look at that, and again, keep in mind that there are no coincidences in the Democrat lawfare corporation strategy here. I was thinking, it's really dumb that they're tweeting Trump isn't going to leave the White House, right? But that's why they're tweeting it, because they know that, and one part of their strategy is to have a totally screwed up election where the results are not clear. And then they're setting up, we told you Trump wouldn't leave the White House, right? So Trump, they may have results saying he wins, then that's in court. So what do? Who becomes the president?
Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, it's a bizarre situation. But again, I think that they have all of these strategies in place, you know, to
Lawfare has already done the briefs. And
well, explain what Lawfare is for people who don't.
It's a site run by Ben Weitz, and it's all these former Justice Department officials, and they're an incredible think tank for the left and the legal strategy and the resistance.
And they put out memos every day to mainstream media corporations. They literally put out press releases every day. That's why when you hear the progressive media with all of you're like, how do they all say the same thing? Bombshell, 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 right? That's how that gets out there.
I'm not sure they're the key on that one, because they're a little more erudite, because their articles seem fair. And that's why it's so well written and they're so awful. So they'll be writing on this on-bank hearing saying, great on-bank hearing, really.
About Flynn.
About Flynn. But they're an evil group.
I also think I go back to my boiling frog in the water pot. And I think that, I used to think, they were conspiracy theorists. They're crazy. But I think, you know, I am crazy then if I'm, you know, but I've gone down the rabbit hole here. I think that, you know, again, the whole thing setting it up where Trump isn't going to leave the White House. Well, they know if there's a messy election and the results aren't clear, which could be entirely possible. Right. And then Trump says, well, I'm going to stay the president. Right. And then they're like, no, they've got us used to riots now, right? Do you even pay attention really to the riots anymore? No, they've got us used to riots.
Downtown riot.
Right, exactly. As long as it's not going on in your neighborhood, so there will be riots. And then in the meantime, you've got us, you know, we all have to wear a mask, right? Even though we all know it's stupid, we have to wear a mask. And then, I mean, they're getting us used to
the totalitarian state,
right? And I think, and so then somebody just comes in and they're like, okay, look, Nancy Pelosi is going to be, as you said, Nancy Schumer is going to be president, and at least there won't be any riots anymore. And by the way, you won't have to wear a mask. I mean, I think is, you know, now Ted Trimpa, our Democrat friend, would say, we're not that organized. Oh, I'm sorry, Ted.
You are.
You guys are really organized, you've always been organized. And I go back to the whole thing with the unemployment insurance, right? That is something you can argue whether it's a good idea. And I understand that there are some businesses that say it's hurting their ability to get employees back. So I know there are arguments on both sides. to a certain extent, put that aside and look at how the Democrats are reacting. The Democrats are refusing, number one, to pass a bill that would give you unemployment insurance, right? At the same time, they're refusing to allow you to go back to work and to open up your business. So you're between a rock and a hard place there. And then when Trump takes action and says, okay, well, fine, I'll sign an executive order giving people money. Well, they know that's, we can't have that because that might make people happy. Then Governor Polis says, oh, we don't have the money here in Colorado to do that. And again, as I said, well, then he could open up the economy and let people go back to work. Because that's one thing we've seen.
We got the mint here. We could just print all the money if necessary.
Well, what we've seen is when they open up businesses, people do go back to work for the most part, right? If they would, I think the problems that the places like restaurants have, it's not so much that people are lazy and they're making more off of unemployment. Okay, granted, there might be some of that going on there. But because the restaurants can only be half full, so if you're on the wait staff, you can't make near the tips that you could make, right? I'm assuming that you could make more than that if you went back to work, but they won't let you go back to work. They're keeping you downtrodden. And then in the meantime, you have to wear that stupid mask.
Yeah, it's just diabolical. But strangely enough, I don't know if you've noticed in your neighborhood, I know we have here up in Westminster, the real estate market's hot. And I know in Greater Denver, they just came out of the report saying that both Denver, Adams County, Jefferson, Douglas, it's a hot real estate market. And we can tell that here because there have been five or six houses of boom, and they were just under contract incredibly quickly.
You know, I was talking with a realtor the other day who said exactly that. He said they put their house, he said, you're the reason that they're having signs up there that say coming soon is because, you know, things are going on the market when they officially hit the market with 20 offers. He said, it's insane.
Yeah.
And again, to me, the Democrats don't want that to happen. They don't want the economy to recover. Wall Street is back in record territory again, right? Do you read that anywhere? No. Same thing. Coronavirus deaths, hospitalizations, cases, incredibly low. Excuse me. Do you read that anywhere?
Other than let's say Arizona, Texas, California, and Florida, it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible.
Hey, we got time. We've got just a few more minutes left, but we got Johnny from Colorado online too. Hey, Johnny, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I'm about to turn my 74-year-old brother onto your show because I let him watch a video last night of Michelle Moulton, and his reflection was, that's them, that's, you know, Trump attacking these protesters. So I'm thinking, like, are you deranged?
Yes. They're those good people using their faces against the poor fists of the protesters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them your number and send your show over, and you may be getting a call from him, but I couldn't believe he's deranged. I'm 61, he's 74, and I'm thinking, like, is that what I have to look forward to?
Maybe he's in Joe Biden territory there, you know, maybe it's not his fault. Well, yeah, tell him, you know, I feel if anybody out there listening knows a Democrat, tell him what is, you know, Steve Crowder says, change my mind, right? Call in and convince us
that we beat up those poor Antifa people.
That the Antifa people are the victims here. So
that'd be great.
All right, Johnny.
Look forward to a left-wing deranged person to call you.
Okay.
We love it.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, that's gonna wrap it up for us. Before we go, I want to remind people on ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They've got some great stories up. They're explaining Polis and the executive orders and how hard it is to fight back against that. You can always follow us and love to have you follow us on Parler. Now we're on Parler, Chuck and Julie.
Yeah, that's a good one to go to if you're
They're not censoring. Nope, we're on Twitter at ChuckandJulie1. We've got a Chuck and Julie. We're all over the place. We need coffee mugs and t-shirts. We've got Chuck and Julie on Facebook, and especially love it if you go to YouTube and follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube. We're growing. It's good. It's encouraging to see. I want to thank everybody who joined us. Karen, Kathleen, Sandra, everybody joining us on Zoom. Thank you to Thomas and the folks at
Thanks
BBS.
Thanks to you calling in.
That's right. And he can call in after he's right on the General Flynn thing. Right. Otherwise, if you miss any of the podcasts, you can catch them all and listen live at chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll see you on Hump Day Wednesday.
That's right.
Which is one day before Party Friday. One broadcast before.